What's good in extremism? Nothing. What positive can come out of extremism? Just the word, you know? Extremism. Democrats like to call us. We're right-wing extremists, right? Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 9-11 here on this Friday morning. Glad to have you on board the old morning train. Our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair is a Lebanese-American conservative activist. She's an author and lecturer and critic of Islam. She's also the founder of Act for America, which has been described as the largest grassroots anti-Muslim group in the United States. Wow. That's quite a claim. Holy smokes. Yikes. Let's welcome to the show Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Delighted to be with you. And by the way, I want to make one correction.
Uh-oh.
We are the largest anti-terrorism, not anti-Muslims, grassroots organization in the United States. Big difference.
Oh,
but the
huge.
Left would want you to believe if you love America, you are anti-people.
Yeah, that's a big clarification. I apologize. Thank you for setting me straight on that, Brigitte. Your life is such a compelling story in and of itself. I mean, you could probably, they could have a movie about you. You grew up in the middle of the civil war in Lebanon. And before we get into Islamic extremists, can you tell me just a little bit about that, as well as what was your experience with Islamic extremists like growing up?
Well, Gary, you know, I was born and raised in Lebanon, and what most people don't remember is that Lebanon used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East. We were open-minded, we were fair, we were tolerant, we were multicultural, we had open border policy, we welcomed everybody into our country. Boy, does that sound familiar
so far?
It
does, yeah, exactly.
We welcomed everybody into our country because we wanted to help people, because when you have a Christian heart, you know, when you go by the law, do unto others what you want others to do unto you.
That's right.
You know, you kind of welcome people. I want to help the underdog and want to help the oppressed. And what ended up happening is we imported people into our country who did not share our values. And we refused to read the writing on the wall. The writing was on the wall, but we could not recognize the warning signs. My 9/11 happened to me in 1975. When radical Palestinian Islamists blew up my home, bringing it down, burying me under the rubble wounded as they were trying to take over our town. We were the only Christian town left in southern Lebanon. I ended up in a hospital for 2.5 months, and later when I left the hospital to come home, my home was no longer the home I left. I ended up living underground in an 8x10 room, without electricity, without water, and very little food. And that's where I lived for the next 7 years of my life, from the age of 10 till the age of 17, robbed of my youth. So when I talk about terrorism, I am not only some expert who went to college and studied about terrorism. I'm an eyewitness to terror who lived to tell about it and ended up coming to America. And I am warning Americans that unless we wake up, throw political correctness in the garbage, and start identifying what is destroying our country and what part we are playing in allowing our enemies and those who do not share our values to destroy our country, we better wake up now before it's too late. And that's why I started ActForAmerica.org. And I encourage people, if my message so far resonates with you, go to ActForAmerica.org right now and check us out and join us and sign up to get our emails and action alerts.
Brigitte, I want to talk for a moment about the Islamic faith. I keep hearing that it's a peaceful one in general. I think, well, let me ask you this. Does the Quran push the kind of violence that people have been enduring recently?
Well, look, all faith had some element of some sort of another of violent verses. And most people have never read their book of faith. How many black Muslims in America even read Arabic? How many Muslims in America who became Muslims because they like the structure of the faith, they like the spirituality of the faith, understand what is written in Surah 9 of the Quran, for example, and its history? I'm a Christian Catholic. I have never read the Bible in my life, but I went to church, and whatever I know about the Bible, I heard it from the pastor or priest standing on Sunday morning when my parents dragged me to church for the first 20 years of my life. So in Islam, the difference between Islam and any other religion is, while the Buddhists want to, you know, not hurt anybody, love the animals, love the bugs, don't kill anything because everybody had a previous life, while the Christians want to do unto others what others do unto you. You know, Jesus says, whoever slaps you on one cheek, you turn the other. Mm-hmm. So Christians are very forgiving. It's all about forgiveness. The Jews want to repair the world, tikkun olam, to make the world a better place. In Islam, Islam is about submission. The word itself does not mean peace. Peace is salam. Islam is submission. You know, it's like the difference in English between the words beard and bird, you know, which I always used to mix up, you know, when I was, you know, first started speaking English. They sound the same, but the difference is so vast between the meaning of the two words. And that's where in Islam, Islam itself has a very violent verses that calls on killing the infidels. For example, Prophet Muhammad's words on his dying bed, his last commandment to the Muslims is to kill all the Jews. He said that there will be a rock crying that there's a Jew behind me, go and kill him. These were the last commandments of Prophet Muhammad to his devout followers. And now you understand the conflict between why the majority Muslim Middle East cannot stand the Jews, does not accept the Jews, does not want Israel to be a state. It all boils down to the commandments in the Quran.
You obviously had an awful experience with them. You suffered and endured what most people will never experience, thank God. So I've got to ask you, why? I mean, why are Islamic extremists so hell-bent on the destruction of other people?
Well, you know, Islam divided the world between Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Islam, the house of war and the house of Islam. That's why you hear about the Islamic nation, the Islamic Ummah, which is basically all Muslims worldwide against the non-Muslims. That's where that comes from, the Islamic nation. And basically, according to Islamic scripture, that any land or any people that have not converted yet to Islam, they either live as second-class citizens like the Christians, or they convert to Islam, or they die, or they pay, in order for them to stay alive like the Christians, they have to pay a jizya or a protection tax. And that's why when you see the Houthis attacks right now in Yemen against the ships in the Mediterranean, remember, in the Red Sea, remember our Navy was formed over 200 years ago because of the attacks of the Muslims on the shipping lanes to collect the jizya or the protection tax, which led us, the United States, to create our own Navy.
Yeah, wow. That's, I wasn't versed in quite all the details that you just mentioned. I mean, all I can tell you is that we can see people on the streets of New York and Chicago and other major cities around the America, and we can even see them in France, Canada, and other countries. The support for Hamas, the terrorists, it's gone worldwide. It's kind of funny that the same people shouting tolerance for Hamas would be shown no such tolerance by the Islamic extremists themselves.
Exactly. This is why it's a joke when you see gays or lesbians, you know, marching for Hamas. You know, they have no idea what they're marching for. And it's like you said, Gary, you know, most people do not know history. Most people don't know history. That's why, you know, we hear the verse growing up, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And we shrug it off because, like, you know, oh, yeah, you know, or you hear the words, there's nothing new under the sun. And we take them like, oh, yeah, these are expressions. But history history is so important for people to understand. And this is why when we see our young nitwits marching on the streets of America, young people who don't even understand our own history, who have never even read our own constitution, do not realize they are marching in support of Hamas, a terrorist organization designated by the United States government. I mean, they are marching for a terrorist organization. We even saw support for Osama bin Laden since the October 7th massacre on the streets of the United States, even though Osama bin Laden committed the biggest terror attack on American soil on 9/11. But that's the problem. Why? They do not understand the history, and that's why we are seeing such march in support of Hamas. Now, that's for the non-Muslims. The Muslims, the reason why they stand with Hamas is because Hamas named the attack the Al-Aqsa Flood, where they invoke the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's why you always hear the Al-Aqsa Brigade for Hamas, the Al-Aqsa Flood. How many people even remember or know in America, those who are marching, that the name of the operation was Al-Aqsa? People don't understand the connection between the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem and its symbolism for the Islamic faith, and why terrorist organizations always invoke either the name of Allah in their operations or the name of Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that's why Hamas knew exactly when they named the operation Al-Aqsa Flood, because they knew every single Muslim in the world by commandment has to support their cause, because now they linked it to faith.
We're speaking with Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte, you obviously know the history of Hamas. That's unquestionable. I'm listening to you with my mouth wide open, you know, and you know the history of the Palestinian people. Can you go into then how and why they ended up on the Gaza Strip? I mean, didn't they try and settle in other countries before ending up on the Strip?
Well, look, first of all, Israel tried to make peace with the Palestinians over and over and over again. Look, Ehud Barak, back in 2000, offered them 97% of the territories back. 97%! Wow. And they turned that down. The reason why they ended up in Gaza is because they have refused over and over and over again to make peace with Israel. And to top it off, remember, Israel withdrew out of Gaza in 2005. Israel not only withdrew out of Gaza, Israel went against its own people. Israel turned its own military, the IDF, against its own citizens, dragging them out of their homes by force and taking them out of Gaza. Because, you know, that, I mean, they had settlements, they had cities, they had industry. Mm-hmm. Gaza, under Israel, in 2004, Gaza used to export, just to give you a little example, 50 million flowers just to Europe a year. And that was the last export in 2004. When Israel withdrew in 2005, they left all the industry to the Palestinians. Israel not only took all its alive people out, the Jews, they dug the Jewish cemeteries and took out the remains, single bone of every single dead Jew buried in Gaza. So by the end of 2005, there wasn't any Jewish presence in Gaza, alive or dead. Israel handed Gaza to the Palestinians, and it said, here it is. It is yours. Declare your own state. You can turn Gaza into Singapore.
Wow.
Instead of doing that, Hamas held its first election in 2006-2007. That was the only election they ever had. They held their elections. The lady, the first minister that was elected to the Hamas cabinet, was a woman by the name Umm Nidal. They called her the mother of the resistance, Umm al-Muqawama. The reason why she ran and she was elected is because she ran on the platform that I sent three sons already to die, because three of her sons became suicide bombers, and her commercials for to win the election was showing pictures, video of her standing next to her son, strapping him with a suicide bomb to go blow himself up. And she ran on the platform, I already gave three sons for the cause, I have another seven to give. And that's why she was elected. And so this gives you an idea who Hamas is. And since then, this was their last election. And since then, instead of turning Gaza into Singapore, they turned Gaza into a terrorist hub that is today is going about to drag the whole world into World War III.
Brigitte, if you were to stand on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, though, and let's say you were going to address all the Hamas supporters, what would you say to them?
All the Hamas supporters in America, I would say to them, wake up and study history. Understand what you are standing for. It's like Americans standing up in defense of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda's attack on 9/11. I mean, it's unfathomable. If you teach people history, if you make... I'm not talking, you know, ancient history. I'm talking about what happened in 2005. I'm talking about 20 years ago. I mean, you know, it's mind-boggling to me how detached Americans are from history. And this is why we need to understand why we need to stand up and fight for our country, because right now we are importing people, we are importing Hamas supporters into our country. By the way, Gary, a lot of these students that you see demonstrating on college campus and also on the streets of New York and around the country, These are foreign students, they're not Americans, paid for by foreign governments in the Middle East who despise Israel, who despise the United States, who are now demonstrating in our streets. They are here on student visas, demonstrating on the streets, rallying other American nitwits with them who don't understand their own history. And that's why you see them tearing the American flags from New York and these Hamas demonstrations and blocking the streets. And that's why we now have a bill introduced in Congress to stop and arrest these demonstrators, and especially if they are convicted, deport them, especially if they are not American citizens. Mm-hmm. Because the last thing we need is to import troublemakers into our country. We already have enough of that. And I encourage people to go to actforamerica.org, sign up to get our emails and action alerts. We monitor bills coming down for a vote in Congress and in your state, and we send you an email notifying you about the bill with an email to your member of Congress. With the click of a button, you can send it to them.
That's great.
Go to actforamerica.org right now. Click on Act Now. Check out all our campaigns and become active today.
The current conflict in Gaza right now really isn't even a war between two governments. And I've said this in the past. It's another war on terrorism. The U.S. spent 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting terrorism. And now we see the Taliban is in control of the entire country. So my question to you is, can Israel win?
Israel can win if Israel has an ally in the United States that Israel can count on. Biden is not America, is not Israel's ally. Trump was Israel's ally. Israel could count on Trump. Saudi Arabia could count on Trump. Dubai can count on Trump. Egypt could count on Trump. Jordan could count on Trump, and that's why Trump was able to bring the Abraham Accord together and bring everybody in the Middle East together to have peace, and they were actually on the verge of having peace. Remember, Saudi Arabia was about to sign a peace treaty with Israel when this whole debacle happened on October 7th in Gaza, and Iran instigated that specifically to sabotage that deal. So the whole world is about to go into World War III. Because we have a very weak, ignorant, treasonous government in the United States under the Democrat Party right now, and under Biden, who is not only sabotaging the United States, but sabotaging the interests of good countries around the world and catering to that to the axis of evil, empowering China, empowering Russia, empowering South Korea, empowering our enemies, empowering Iran, even sending Iran money in the middle of the night, even signing deals with Iran behind our back.
Wow.
I mean, look at the money we were going to give to Iran before October 7th, and thank God we froze everything, and thank God we stopped the $6 billion we were going to give Iran.
Brigitte, how should the world handle the Islamic extremists known as the terrorists? What do you recommend? How do you handle them?
Look, exactly the way President Trump handled them. He took care of ISIS in 3 weeks. You didn't hear a blurb about ISIS since 2019.
So what made Trump so successful then?
How he was so successful? Because he allowed the military to do what the military was trained to do. Kill your enemy. You cannot negotiate with cancer. You go in and you do chemotherapy and you do radiology because you know with cancer, unless you kill it, it will kill you. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So with Al-Qaeda as well as with ISIS, President Trump allowed the military to go in and kill them all. Do not have mercy. You go in and kill. And you didn't hear a beep out of them.
My final question.
That's what we need to do.
This is a world takeover by radical Islam, isn't it?
Well, look, we know that radical Islamists wrote a plan, the Muslim Brotherhood, which Hamas is a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, a 100-year plan for radical Islam to infiltrate and dominate the West. They have patience. Actually, the plan was admitted as evidence by our government in the Holy Land Foundation trial in Dallas, Texas in 2007-2008, when America, our government, tried a Muslim organization and Muslim foundations. The lawsuit was against the Holy Land Foundation, which was funneling money in America and sending it overseas to the point of, you know, over $12 million raised in the United States to be sent to support Palestinian terrorists overseas. And in that trial, our government presented this evidence, the plan which was written in 1991, actually 10 years prior to 9/11. And when you see the advancement of the Muslim Brotherhood right now worldwide, and by the way, I'm not talking about terrorists. I'm talking about people dressed in Armani suits.
Wow.
Look,
okay.
The leaders of
I've only got 30 seconds.
Billionaires living in Abu Dhabi.
All right. ActForAmerica.org. ActForAmerica.org. Brigitte Gabriel, I can't thank you enough for your time. I know it's in great demand. You are everywhere on television and radio, and you are outstanding. Yeah, and you're so energetic. Thank you for your time with us this morning.
Thank you, and have a great day and a great weekend.
You do the same, Brigitte Gabriel.
Thank you.
You got